So now we're going to open up our Bibles to Luke's Gospel in chapter 3, going back to the Gospel. This morning, we're just going to take a few minutes to reflect on Luke's Gospel, chapter 3. And verses, just two verses, verses 21 and 22. Very well-known passage. I've often reflected on it and spoken about it. Verse 21. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." I put up this slide earlier just to remind us where we are. Imagination, creativity, inspiration. Seeking to encourage folk to quite deliberately make a response. It might be a very personal response. It might be a response you want to make with others. You might say, well, I could do this by myself, but it would be great if I could have somebody else alongside me as I respond. So imagination, creativity, inspiration, that you may know with certainty. You know, how does the Word of God sit deep within us? It's when we receive it and obey it and we live it. That's how it goes deep. It's not just in your mind. It has to somehow be acted out in our hearts and lives. And the theme today on baptism, I'm taking three key words, three key elements of it: love, life, and purity. And what we're going to do this morning is Sarah's going to get up in just a second and just introduce a response. And you might think, well, that's a bit strange having a response at the beginning, but it's kind of helping you, helping all of us to make ready our response. And then I'm going to speak about baptism and love. And then Sarah's going to say something then. Yeah, I'm just checking. She might change her mind. And then I'm going to say something about life. And then Sarah will get up. And then something about purity. So, Sarah.
I've got a couple of things in here to help. And there is not going to be something for everybody. So you're going to have to be grown up about it. The children will probably be more grown up than the grown ups about it. I've got something in my bag. Erin, what's that?
Grinding.
A grinding. So what goes with it?
A bowl.
A bowl. Oh my goodness, this is what was heavy. Yeah, Rebecca, don't drop it on your toes, please. Two hands. Come and stand up. So we have a pestle and a mortar. Do you know which way they go round? Which is the pestle and which is the mortar? Which is, I'm asking, which is the pestle and which is the mortar? Where's your dad? He's a scientist. Do we know? Which is... Pestle's the bowl, and the thing is the mortar. And what do we use these for?
Bath.
Yeah?
Grinding.
Grinding things. Grinding different things together, and what do you do when you've ground them together? You
put them...
Yeah, or well, you're making something. So if you can put them together and make that horrible noise for everybody. We have been formed wonderfully by God. He has made us as individuals... We're each special and significant to him. I think that there might be enough for most of you, but certainly for those that are in Discoverers, to take a small package representing us, formed and made by God. He knits us together in our mother's womb, and we're precious to him. And I want you to hold it and listen whilst Ed is talking. And he will say various words, and you'll think, I'm going to write that down on here. So to go with it, there will be some pens. He might write a word, say a word. You might want to write the word. You might want to draw a picture. And the first word is up there as a clue. Love. We're created by God in his pestle and mortar in love. So don't drop it on your toes. Do you want to take that round, Rebecca, and give it to certainly the Discoverers? And Erin will bring a pen if you want to join in. Hold it, treasure it in your hand as God holds and treasures you.
Okay, while they're doing that, I'll carry on talking. Okay, this is the first thing I want to highlight today. The call of baptism is know that you are loved. Know that you're loved. It's very easy for us to say, well, God loves you. Who knows that God loves them? Yeah, well, John and Olive know that God loves them. That's good, you see. Know that God loves you. The call of baptism is be baptized, because in baptism there is something about love. There is something about love in baptism. Now, this morning as I speak, I'm going to use that expression a number of times. I'm going to say in baptism there is something about love. There is something about life. There is something about purity in baptism. And you may say, well, hang on, can't I be more specific when I say there's something about love? Here's the thing. Baptism and what happens in baptism is a mystery. A mystery. It's like there are loose ends, things we don't understand about baptism. We don't know how it works. We don't really know what goes on. We don't really know what the significance of baptism is. But in baptism, there is something about love. As I will say a little later on, baptism is a sacrament. Now, if you're a good nonconformist, you'd be going, sacrament. Don't go there. What is a sacrament? It's a word we use to describe something symbolically that we do. So it's just a symbol, it's just a sign. But sacrament describes something that we do symbolically, but God has promised that when we do it, He will be involved. That's what a sacrament is. So when we are baptized, it's a sacrament. God has promised He'll be involved. Communion is a sacrament. When we do it and we think, well, just bread and wine, God has promised He will be there. And we don't understand that. In baptism, there is something about love. The call of baptism is know that you are loved. This is what we read just a moment ago. A voice came from heaven. You are my son whom I love. With you, I am well pleased. Jesus had just been baptized. I remember as a child, the question often as I saw baptism take place in the Brethren Evangelical Chapel that we went to, I often asked the question, and I heard others ask the question, why did Jesus need to be baptized? Surely only sinners need to be baptized. Jesus, you say, never committed sin. It's because I think we've over-egged the sin bits and we've forgotten or missed out completely that baptism is about love. Baptism, there is an engagement of God and His love with us when we are baptized. And we see that. Here's the evidence. Jesus was baptized and a voice came from heaven, you are my son whom I love. Why be baptized? There is in baptism the call, know you are loved. I remember there was a family in London, possibly the first lady who came to faith under my ministry in London, and she was so eager to be baptized, and we didn't have a baptistry of our own. We had to go to another church and be part of their baptismal service, and I remember baptizing Anne, and it was such a lovely thing. And when she came up, she just said, the love of God, the love of God. She just somehow experienced love. Why be baptized? It's because God says, come and know you are loved. And just to, you might think I'm being pedantic. I am not talking here about child baptism, infant baptism, pre-faith baptism, family baptism, household baptism, or anything like that. I'm talking about our spiritual journeys and coming to that point in our journey where we believe for ourselves. So I'm not wanting anybody to respond and say, I was christened, I was baptized when I was 3 or 2 or 6 months or something. What we're talking about and the challenge of what we're looking at is our journey of faith. Know your love. That's the call of baptism. And of course, the Bible's very clear about this. And we know, says John, rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. And when the Apostle Paul wants to say, well, look, if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, what can you expect to see? And there are those, of course, who want to say, if God fills you with the Holy Spirit, you're going to do dramatic, strange, weird things. The Apostle Paul doesn't really want to go there. In 1 Corinthians 13, he makes it abundantly clear, if I have not love, I am nothing, nothing. But then in Galatians 5:22, he says this, the fruit of the Spirit is love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And the call of baptism is very simple. Come and know that you are loved. Hear the voice of your Father say to you, you are my child, and I love you, and I'm pleased with you. God is love. And in baptism, there is this revelation, this unveiling, this making clear that God is love. And in baptism, God says, it is you. When I was writing this, you know, terrible, isn't it? What images come into your mind? Do you remember the big national lottery thing? You know, it's you. But in baptism, you know, we often emphasize John 3:16, for God so loved the world, the cosmos, all that is created. God so loves all of that. In baptism, he says, do you know what? It's you I love. It's you I love. The call of baptism is know that you are loved.
We are formed beautifully by God. We are unique and loved and precious to him. Life comes and it is not maybe all that our Father dreamed for us. Out of circumstances. I know a boy that lives in my house who seems to have hands like dirt magnets. And life, as we even, I don't, that's none of you, even as we hold ourselves, life itself causes us to be changed and altered and moulded. And some of that will look beautiful. We have two beautiful pictures of themselves on our envelopes here. But constantly through life, we are told and encouraged to choose life, life in all its fullness. And even as we get slightly battered and moulded and shaped by the circumstances of life, we are encouraged to choose life. Zoe's name means life. So as you're holding yourself in prayer before God, acknowledging that circumstances and life puts pressures upon us, you're still encouraged to choose life.
Secondly, call of baptism is choose life. Call of baptism is firstly, know that you're loved. The second thing to highlight, the call of baptism is choose life. I love the passage in Deuteronomy 30, when Moses has retold the story of the people of God and retaught the law of God. Deuteronomy, the name Deuteronomy means literally second law. It's not a second law, it's the second telling of the law, because, you know, in Exodus, the first giving of the law is recorded, and then there is disobedience among the Israelites, and they wander around in the desert for 40 years, and they approach the promised land for a second time, and that's where we have this. Moses stands before them and says, okay, we've really messed up, haven't we? We've spent 40 years wandering around. We shouldn't have done this. But here we go. We've got another chance. I'm going to tell you it all again. So that's what he does. Deuteronomy, that's why there's so much repetition there. Deuteronomy is the second telling of the law. And in Exodus, in Deuteronomy 30, he lays out, Moses lays out before the people, well, you can go this way and be blessed, or you can go this way and be cursed. You can go this way and have life, or go this way and have death. And it's as if Moses, from the depth of his being, says to you, says to the people, today I place before you life and death. Now choose life. Choose life. And baptism has within it, somehow within it, this mystery. There is something in baptism that says to us, choose life. And when we are baptized, we are baptized because God says, know that you're loved. We are baptized because it is there somehow that we enact our choosing of life. The Apostle Paul, when he writes to the church at Rome, what does he say? We were therefore buried with him, with Jesus, through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Baptism is about choosing a new life for ourselves. Choosing a new life. Before, I think it was before the summer, I spoke for a number of weeks about resurrection. And you may remember how I spoke about resurrection, how there is life and then there is death. And even somebody like Lazarus experienced life, but then he died. And Jesus called him back from death and he lived again. And that happened a number of times in the scriptures. We have that story told about how somebody lived and they died, and then God, Jesus, a prophet, called them back to life and they lived again. When Jesus died, this is what happened. He lived and he died, but in his case, it was God, the living God, who calls him to life. And Jesus doesn't come back to life. He lives, he dies, and he is called to life beyond death, because God lives a life that is beyond, above death, that is not influenced by death. And the call for us in baptism is, look, Jesus lived, died, and was raised to life beyond death. Now you choose life, not this life, but choose that life. Choose the life beyond death. Choose the life that God lives, that God would pour into your heart and your life. Choose that life, the life beyond death. And of course, the question always is there, how can I, how can we, how can any of us experience this life beyond death? As I've explained, I'll just run through very quickly this. We know that sin's power lies in condemning us for our wrongdoing. That's why the scripture says in Romans 3, the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin, I'm sure that should be 6, Romans 6. Wages of sin is death. So sin says to us, doesn't matter what you think, doesn't matter what your hopes are, your dreams are, one day you're going to die and I will have sewn everything up. Sin gives us the big full stop at the end of our lives. You can live the best life you like, but I will have the last laugh, full stop, at the end of your life. And there is, all for all of us, and I would suggest for everybody who lives, there is that awareness. One day I will die, and what will it all have been for? Why bother now? Well, the scripture tells us that God lives in this life beyond death. He's not affected by the destiny that sin wants to impose on us, that full stop that sin wants to give to us, to say, it doesn't matter what you do, you're going to die, and that'll be the end. God wants us to have a different life. And as we've expressed, Jesus died and was raised to that other life, life beyond death. And so in resurrection, the full stop of sin that sin imposes upon us, well, I don't know what it becomes. It becomes a comma or a colon or semicolon or something. But it's not a full stop anymore. And it doesn't matter what sin said to Jesus. Well, he died. Sin thought it had had the last laugh. The full stop had been put at the end of Jesus' life. That's it, you're dead. And God said, you're my son, I love you, and raised him to life. I am pleased with you. And just added a little bit to the full stop and made it a comma. He broke the power of sin. And life beyond death is a life free from the power of sin. Now you say, does that mean I'm not going to sin? No. Does that mean I'm not going to do stuff wrong? No. You'll still do it. But living that life beyond death, if we can experience that life beyond death, then the last laugh that sin wants to have over us no longer has any power for us. Because that full stop is only a comma with Jesus. And so what about baptism? If we can be united with Jesus, then perhaps we can know that life beyond death. There is only one person that I'm aware of who has lived and died and been resurrected to life beyond death. I mean, if you know of anybody else, let me know. But I don't think so. He was raised to life beyond death. And baptism, what's baptism about? It's choose life. There is one who has passed through death. Now, if you can choose life, if you can be united with Jesus, and in your baptism you enact symbolically the life of Jesus, the death of Jesus, and resurrection, then maybe you too can live a life where you're no longer under the shadow of death. But you say, well, I'm with him. I'm with Jesus. For me, there is hope. I said earlier, baptism is a sacrament. It's a thing that we do symbolically. But God promises, I'm going to be there. And so when we're baptized, it's not just an outward thing of an inward faith. God does something else, mysterious. Know that you're loved. That's why we're baptized. But choose life. That is also why we're baptized. Okay.
So we are made by God in love, in passion of the Father's heart. We're encouraged to choose life in all its fullness, whatever the circumstances of life take us through. And baptism is a sign and a symbol and an experience of that resurrection life. And we are going to see that resurrection life as a token of what it is like within us. Can you very carefully open your lovely envelopes, which have disappeared into pockets? On them, you won't be able to see the detail. It's Rebecca and Aaron on there. They have been dropped on the floor already. But within each of us, there is the sign and symbol through baptism of resurrection life. You hold them up. And there is the purity of a cleansed life, of a hopeful life, of being like Jesus. And we need to find a way in which the sin that we experience day by day can be eradicated from us, can be cleansed from us, that we might remain pure and white, that we might be indeed like the stones that are spoken of in Revelation. that we'll have new names written upon. So symbolically, as Ed is talking about purity, choose the moment within which you may be acknowledging that you have been baptized into Jesus. Yeah. Or as a commitment to consider afresh, do I need to be baptized into Jesus?
The call of baptism, thirdly, is wash your sins away. Wash your sins away. The call of baptism, know that you are loved. God says it's you I love. The call of baptism is choose life. A life that is different. A life that is vital. A life that is filled with God and his life. Life beyond death life. The call of baptism is wash your sins away. And this is where we think about purity. Very, very simple. Purity, cleansing from the stain of sin. The Apostle Paul was told by Ananias, get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name. And so easily we find that sin is attracted to us. Hebrews 12, I've often referred to it. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Let's throw off everything that clings so tightly, the sin that is stuck to us. Let's throw it off. Baptism is a very powerful symbol of washing, getting clean. How many of you stood under a shower this morning? Or went into a bath to clean yourself. And baptism, mysteriously, we don't understand how, but symbolically we're washing our sins away. We're saying, look, whatever I've done, whoever I've been, at this point as I am united with Jesus in life and death and listening for God to say, you're my child, I love you, I'm pleased with you, and pouring into us his life and his love. We're saying, I just want to wash away my sin. Now, the thing about sin, it's a messy business. Sin is a messy business. Well, so sin messes you up. The thing is, when you sin, so you experience something called shame. Shame is when you've done something wrong and you don't want anybody else to know what you've done because they might think differently about you if they knew what you'd done. That emotion, that feeling that you have when you've done something wrong and you don't want anybody else to know it is shame. And sin brings shame, very fundamentally destructive to who we are, because we begin to hide ourselves away because we're afraid if anybody gets too close to us, I'm ashamed of what I've done. I don't want them to get and know who I am. And then sin, of course, brings guilt. You feel rotten about what you've done to yourself, to others. You feel guilty because of what you've done. And it brings fear. I've just referred to that. We become afraid that others might discover us, that we might be punished, we might be found out. And then sin breaks relationships. You say, well, how does it break relationships? It's when we do wrong in our relationships. Trust is broken down. And people say to you, well, I forgive you. And you've always got that feeling, do they really forgive me? Is it really washed away? Can I live with that sense of I have messed up and I'll never really be forgiven? And so sin then brings a sense of hopelessness. It'll never be any different. And sin brings pessimism. I remember hearing somebody profess to be a Christian saying, well, I'm a pessimist. And I think, well, you're not a Christian then. Where does pessimism come from? Well, it comes from the pit of hell, because God is a God of hope. And as soon as we become a pessimist, everything's bad, bad, bad. It's going to go wrong, wrong, wrong. It's not the Spirit of God speaking, but that's what sin plants in us. Deeply destructive. And then it brings apathy. How many times may we have said or heard others say, this is who I am, I can't change me. Why do we say that? It's because we're apathetic. Because we don't think it can ever be any different. I was in school just the other week, giving a couple of lessons, and I said to the children, it's always a good question to ask, what's the opposite? Oh, Rebecca and Aaron were there. Yes, they were. They were blessed with my lessons. And I asked, what's the opposite of love? Remember what it was? No, it wasn't. You see, that's what you all said. It's not, the opposite of love is not hate. Why? Because when you love somebody, who do you think about all the time? Who do you think about all the time when you love someone? You think about the person you love. Now, we might think hate's the opposite of love. When you hate somebody, who do you think about all the time? You think about them. The opposite of love is when you say, I don't care. The opposite of love is when you just, who? Never even think about them. And when sin has worked its way in you, bringing shame and guilt and fear and broken relationships and hopelessness and pessimism, then there is apathy. And apathy is the opposite of love. And that God commands us, love God and love your neighbor as you love yourself. And when we are apathetic, it's because we don't love ourselves. And this is the destructive power of sin. And then it brings death. And you say, well, how do you know all this, Ed? Well, have a think about it. The call of baptism is wash your sins away. Why be baptized? Know that you're loved. Why be baptized? Choose life. Why be baptized? Because you're fed up to the back teeth, whatever, of sin and the mess it makes of you. You say, Jesus passed life, death, the full stop that sin imposes in death. And he broke that. And he somehow got to the other side because God said, you're my son, I love you. If only I could get there. If only I could know that sin's power over me was broken. Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away. And so we have these three things. We have love, life, and purity. The call of baptism, know that you're loved. The call of baptism, choose life. Call of baptism, wash your sins away. We're going to pause just for a moment. And it's important right now that it may be that for us, we've been baptized. It may be, I don't know, it might be for you, if you've been baptized, that baptism has been expressed this morning in a way that you've never thought about it before. And you need to receive that for yourself. Sometimes people want to renew their marriage vows. It may be that we need to think about renewing our baptismal vows, our promise to follow after Jesus. I don't know. Maybe that's a response we have to make. It may be that we haven't been baptized, but we say, do you know, everything I've heard this morning makes sense and it connects with my heart. Connects with my heart. I want to know deeply that I'm loved. I want to know God, my Father, saying, you're the one I love. I want to know life, life. And if I'm presented with death and life, well, I'm going for life. And so maybe we have to be baptized. It might be that we need baptism. Get up, be baptized to wash your sin away. Let's just pause and be quiet for a moment. Father, thank you for your immense love for each one of us. And Father, I pray once again your Spirit would rest on us and help us to respond this morning in a way that's good for us and honours you, Father. We don't want to hold anything back from you. For every day of our lives, we want to live for you. And Father, we receive this call to baptism as something you call out to us. Come and be baptized. Help us to make a response or a re-response today. In Jesus' name, amen.